Okay, Father Jesus, NHS, I'll give you their love. We have a lot to share in this meeting, so we may go over an hour. So if you have plans after the hour is up, I understand if you have to go. I will not hold that against you. I wanted to bring to everybody's attention that Lightstar was taken to the emergency room by her husband because she couldn't breathe. After being there for a while, they diagnosed her with bronchitis, and they gave her some medications, and they sent her on her way. They said she does not have pneumonia, but I'm going to ask everybody if you'd please remember her. She is on the call, but she's weak, and I told her that she could just not even attend, but she said she wanted to listen. So we're praying for you, Lightstar. I spoke to Father on Friday, and this is what he had to say. Dear Team Triland, for all of this past year's meetings, it has been chiding and correction. Many do not appreciate the tone of the meetings as of late. They feel that much has been lost. You are correct. I will tell you that some of you hear the meetings, but you are not listening to me or my son and then acting on the instructions or information. My son will address the heart of the team today. You will all discuss what it is to serve me and to be a guardian. You have lost your first love in me. You cannot serve two masters. What two masters am I speaking of? I am your master, and yet you too are your own master. As of late, many of you choose to serve yourself. The bride of my son is selfless, unrelenting, humble, and honest, and is willing to sacrifice everything to serve me and my sons for the sake of mankind. Perhaps you forgot that this life I gave you is but a training ground for your future. I will repeat this again. Your future, not just the future. To be a guardian takes a special soul, and I demand a personal interest in its development. My son, the day he contacted you with my invitation, discouraged you from taking this position, did he not? He told you all what would be expected of you, trained you, spent time with you, gave you power and authority from my hand, and continues to teach you, and yet you resist him. Why? I will say it again. You have lost your first love. Do you remember when you were training at the start? You were excited. You could not wait to meditate, to come see me, and to train with Michael, to go into battle and fight evil, to help your fellow man when down, and when they needed a healing or an encouraging word. What has happened to that which drove you at that time? Has everything become more important to you than what my sons and I are asking of you? Every day you bring to me your concerns for your natural life, family, financial needs, work, and school needs. But how often do you talk to me about yourself, your weaknesses, your failings, or even your struggles with being a guardian, or even your desire to be my son's bride? You only look at the physical, beloved. Please, I need you to focus on the spiritual. If the spiritual part of your existence were not that important to my plan, then we would not need to have a monthly meeting. My son would not send out emails asking you to do something. Did all of you listen to that recording he asked you to listen to? Would you like to know why he did that? At that time, there was such a camaraderie between all of you. You shared a love unlike any other time. There was peace and harmony. Would you like to know why this was? You were all in the first love. You were doing as I asked of you. You were doing as my son asked of you, and you had joy in your hearts to serve. That has left some of you. Why? Did Triland disappoint you? Have your generals disappointed you? Do you have an expectation of your fellow teammates that they are falling short of in your eyes? Do you believe that you know better, that you are better than anyone else, or that you no longer need to do as you are asked? Beloved, again, the bride of Christ serves out of love. There is no judgment in my kingdom. There is but one valid opinion, mine. I am not concerned with what you think or what you want. Have I not been kind to you? I gave you life, I equipped you with all you would need to succeed in life, and still you are unsatisfied. Have I fallen short of your expectation of me? The past few services have been about that, have they not? Please focus and listen to what I am trying to tell you. Your path is different than others. It does not mean that you are better than others. I will reiterate once more that you are the only group that I spend time with monthly, speaking to you via a letter that I give my son to share with you. You and your spouses are the only group that I will allow to come and see me and spend time with me, Jesus, and HS. Have you forgotten the vow you made to me to serve as a healer and a guardian? Have you forgotten the yes you gave my son so he could place you on his team? Do you take that vow lightly? I do not. This day is not an excuse for you to leave the team. You have given me your word, and I am holding you to it. I will never leave you. I will always protect you. But my dear ones, I have an expectation of you, and you are falling short of it. I forgive you. This day is a day of renewal. All that has happened in the past is now in the past. You should thank me that I have amnesia. That was a joke. I know that this path is difficult. It takes a commitment. It takes time. Life is choices, and within your life lies time. You must make better choices and fit my heart's requirements into your lives. Why not ask me to help you? Well, that's a novel idea, Ask my son, as my son would say, ask the guy for help. Have I ever turned you away? I have not, nor will I ever. Please renew your commitment to me and my son Tryland and stay the course. Your path has not even really started yet. Much must still take place in this world. Look at all the natural disasters that are taking place. Can you feel all the wars that are soon to break out? All of this heralds Jesus' return. Never forget that. I created you to do impossible, and yet you feel you cannot. Last time I checked, my word is the final word, and I say, yes, you can. No, I will always love you. Does anybody have any questions? Please unmute your phones.
I guess I'll throw this out there.
What's that?
I'll throw a question out there.
Okay.
I feel like I'm doing. Maybe I'm not. I kind of feel at a loss. It feels like you do. And yet it's still, like you said, it's the monthly. Like Father said, it's the monthly. You know, every month we kind of get, you know, the spanking, so to speak. I guess I don't understand where it's coming from and why it's coming. I mean, me personally, have I become that lax? I know I haven't given a healing in a long time, but I haven't necessarily had anybody asking me for a healing either. I have come across at least one individual that I know I need to ask, but I mean, what is it we're falling short on? Where do we need to work harder? I mean, is it simply renewing the vows? Is it just revitalizing our energy for and passion for what we're supposed to be and be doing? I mean, that's what it sounded like, but there's got to be more to it than just that.
Is that the morale between the team?
What's that?
Is it the morale between the team members? Because in the beginning of the letter you mentioned, or he mentioned, do you feel like your team members aren't doing as much as you're doing, or that they're not stepping up to the vow, you know what I mean? So
correct.
Could that be something that would be causing this monthly spanking, if that's what you want to say? That
correct.
There needs to be that connection rejoined with each team member. And if that's the case, then how do you go about doing that? Do you try and meet up with them. I mean, I know that's extremely difficult because we've got Blazar and we've got, you know, Susan and everyone's kind of all over the place, but do you do like a, I don't know, that was just my thought.
No, and I appreciate that. So, yes, I will answer your question. Perhaps someone said to me that they thought that our focus was not to be giving energy healings anymore, that it was to protect the Bride of Christ. And I said to them, I never said that. What I said was is that Father would like us to focus on being the protectors of the Bride of Christ. And if you say to me that you have not had anyone ask you for a healing, then I would say this, have you offered a healing to anyone? It is our responsibility to actually read the people that we come across in our life. I am not chewing out anybody, okay? That is not what the intention of this was. And I can tell you, my dear team, this month's meeting has probably been the first meeting in the 5 years that we've done this that I have prayed harder than I ever have, that I have prepared more than I ever have. There has been a separation that has taken place in this team, not just because I wasn't announced. It started at the beginning of this year, and I cannot put my finger on when it started. And it is difficult for me to say these things to you because a number of you have said, we don't appreciate being corrected, we don't like being reprimanded, and you know, I can't apologize that Father's upset with us, but I will say this. Would you rather he, in the address to all of us, single each one out that isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing? I know that some of you are, okay? That's why he said, some of you have lost that feeling. Why is that? Would it be better if he said, Triland, why are you not giving energy healings? Starlight, why are you not counseling and giving comfort to someone who needs it? Blazar, why are you not meditating daily and coming to see me? You have to understand something, my dear team. Father is not going to do that. But I will tell you that there seems to be this feeling across the team that I do not know what you're doing or what's going on with you in your life. I had some people here yesterday from the team, and I had a conversation with one of the guardian's wives. And I said to her, I am completely aware of what my teammates are doing and are not doing, and it is not because Father says something to me. When he made that vow between all of us to him, he connected all of our hearts. So when you're struggling and you're not doing something and you don't reach out to somebody for help, I know it. When you have a problem between your wife and there's a conflict between the two of you, I can feel it. When you receive information from one of your generals and you're upset about the way you receive that information and you hold ill will against me, I know it. Why is that? Because I have my Father's heart. And all week, my dear friends, I have been praying and talking with Father like you have no idea. I do not want to lose anybody. Even this week, I looked at him a couple times and I said, please don't spank us. And I had a lot of things that came over my heart, and he kept saying, I will address them. I will address them. And I will tell you, this Thursday, I was literally almost on my knees at work in the bathroom thinking about all this stuff. And I said to HS, you got to help me. I don't know how to talk to my team about these things, and I don't want them to think I'm angry at them, that I'm reprimanding them. And he gave me one simple thought, and it's this. He said, do you remember when Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? And I said, yes. And then I sat there for a moment in that, and I thought to myself, I now know why he did that. He did it 3 times, my dear friends, because he wanted to know if Peter loved him. And the reason he wanted him to know if he loved him or not was because when you love somebody, nothing is too much for you to do for them. No sacrifice is too great. No task is overwhelming. Nothing is too difficult. I get the opportunity to see my wife for less than 48 hours a week. I leave work at 4:30. My time, I drive for over 3 hours. I get here usually around 8, 8:30 if the traffic permits me to. And then I stay through Sunday night. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, my Chicago time. I leave here at 5, and I drive 2.5, 3 hours to get to work by 7:30. I work my full day. I am a moron, because who in their right mind would do that? Well, I love my wife, and I want to be with her. And I would not think a second guess or question why I would think that that's too much for me to do. So I ask all of you, do you love Father? Do you love me? I know you do. But I also have to have you understand that I have responsibilities. And you want to know what my first responsibility to you is? It's to love you. My second responsibility is to teach you. And my third responsibility is to correct you when it's needed. Someone said to me, we don't appreciate being corrected. And I said to that person, well, if you were doing what was asked of you, would we be having this conversation? I'm not trying to make light of anything. I'm not trying to downgrade anything. But I would like to also just point out the fact, I don't recall ever coming to any of you and berating you or yelling at you. But I will tell you that today's text is not a coincidence. If you were in church, does everybody remember what it was? I'll read it to you. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things that which one may edify another. I looked at Father and I went, you're always working an angle, aren't you? You always have everything in place for us. So I will tell you that even before this meeting started this week, I have been preparing for this meeting for over a month. The moment that the other meeting ends, I already start the next meeting. And would you like to know what my heading was? The first note I took, let's all start over with each other and forgive. Maybe you felt I was a bit too hard on you, but I would ask you to be honest with yourself. If I said something to you and I offended you with the way I said it to you, then I humbly apologize to you. And I am sorry, because you people are the last people I would ever want to hurt. But then I'm going to ask you this. If what I said to you, did you need to actually improve on it? Is there something there? You are the only one who knows the answer to that. So I'm going to ask you to just be honest with yourself. And then I also need to ask you this question. Have your generals not measured up to an expectation that you had? Have you looked at your other fellow teammates and thought, what the heck is wrong with them? And why can't they do what's asked of them? And why aren't they following through? And how come they just can't follow and do the things that are asked of them? We are all human, okay? All of us have a moment of weakness. All of us are incredibly human. And all of us make mistakes. So it's in this moment right now that I'm going to ask everybody to please forgive me and to please forgive everybody else on the team, because we need to now come together. Father is tired of having to reprimand us. And I would tell you, I thought his message today was a lot nicer than the previous 8 months. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But I would like to think that he does this out of love. He didn't raise his voice once. He doesn't yell at me when he's giving me this message. And he's our Father, right? And nobody likes to be corrected. Nobody does. But I don't want you to think that this is a general reprimand for those of you who are actually following through with everything that's asked of you. And I'm actually going to go through a little more after we do a little exercise that I thought would be nice for all of us to go over some things. But I guess the ultimate thing I would like to say to everybody right now today is this meeting is your meeting. It's not just mine. It's not where Father just gets a moment to tell us how he feels and what things we're doing wrong and that he loves us and he's going to spank us and he's going to send us to the corner. I know that in your hearts there are things that you want to say and that your spouses want to say, but you don't for fear of maybe being made fun of, or maybe you think that somebody on the team is going to think you're a moron because you don't know the answer to that question. Have I ever, in a meeting, singled out somebody and went, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard? I don't think so. I can honestly say I never have. I may have cut you short when we were by ourselves about something, but I'll also point out that the team site is full of resources that I don't think everybody utilizes. There's so much there. There is so much information that you and I completely forget. I've been listening to these recordings now. I went back from the very first recording we ever had 5 years ago. I sit in my moment here and go, 5 years we've been doing this? That's nuts. And not one of the messages that Father says to us is the same. Not one of the meetings that we discuss is the same. It's always different. It's always growing. It's always something. And I will tell you that the reason Father said to you that I had you listen to that recording was exactly that reason. Everybody participated. Everybody had something to say. Everybody shared in that moment. There was a joy. We all loved each other. We were all willing to work with each other. That's what Father's trying to get us back to. That's what I'm trying to get you all back to. I don't think you know. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think you know how hard it is for me when I hear some teammate is judging another teammate, or there's something that you didn't understand I said and you're upset at me, and now, but I don't ever hear from you. And now we finally are getting an open line of communication between the generals. They've stepped up because I told them, I need you to be generals. There's no more slacking off anymore, and if you can't follow through with what I'm asking, then I'll find someone else. You can step down. We'll move forward, blah, blah, blah. But I need everybody to respect one another, and I think that's why Father's not just saying we've lost that loving feeling. You know, that's a wonderful song. But anyway, I think we've lost respect for each other. And I'm going to go into greater detail about some other things, but I'm going to stop right now, and if anybody would like to add anything else, please, please, okay?
Trilyn, may I?
Yes.
So as you're talking, we know our Heavenly Father loves us. We know we love each other, and we have that, and we do. Almost more importantly, we have to love souls, because that's the only reason that we're doing any of this. Because Father loves all souls. He wants everyone to be saved. And maybe that's where we're lacking. As a minister, I look out at the congregation, and you always think, how is it going with them? What's going on here? And do they love each other? Do they love their neighbors? What are they doing to actually try to become like Jesus? Because Jesus didn't. He loves everyone. And
yes.
I think sometimes we maybe put ourselves outside of that. And you mentioned either last month or the month before that we need to be involved with our congregations and we need to
yes.
be part of it. Because when all of the things happen and then we actually begin to do the work and people know who we are and we're doing what Father wants us to do, then it's really important that they look at us and say, you know what? I knew something. I knew it. Or they've always been with us. They've always been part of us. If we're not part of our brothers and sisters in faith right now, then how are we going to help them? And we need to kind of get back to that. Does that make sense?
It sure does, and that is exactly why I asked you guys to send me your definition of what it is to be a guardian and what it is to serve Father. And while we're in that vein of small groups, I will tell you that I will never... That's not entirely true. When I made the suggestion that you should join a small group, it was not a command, and it was not a demand. It was a mere suggestion. Because of what Q just said. How are we supposed to now in the future, when things happen and things change, how are we supposed to have any, as the kids nowadays say, street cred, to talk to somebody in the congregation if we were never there to actually help them or be a part of something? It's usually when you're in the trenches with somebody that they actually have respect for you. Somebody recently used the analogy of a team. Do you have as much respect for the guys or the girls that are on the team that are battling against the opposing team during the game as you do as much respect as the bench warmer who sits there and doesn't play ever? Well, no, You don't, because you're in the trenches. I would like to say to everybody that's on the call with me right now and everybody that's a part of my team, we are not bench warmers. We have fought together. We have seen things. I recently said to my wife, some of the heinous things any human beings have ever seen have been seen by us, and yet we're still sane. We aren't losing our minds. And what Q said is a valid point. Father is trying to get all of us back in the game. I will tell you, this past Thursday or Friday morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up out of a deep sleep. I sat on the edge of my bed because something didn't feel right. I went to the bathroom. As I was going to the bathroom, somebody was sitting on the couch in the basement at my aunt's house with his legs crossed and his arm up on the couch. And I thought, okay, that's evil, but I have to go pee. Excuse my French. I did. So I took care of business. I came out. I pogged as I went back to my room, and it didn't affect this guy in any way. I was tired. Michael's there. The team's there. I laid back into bed. And this guy stands up, walks across the floor, sticks his head in my bedroom, and just says, my name is Andreas. I wanted to introduce myself to you. I am the general who is taken over for Satan because you have him bound. Just wanted to say hi. I wrapped a net around him. I threw him out of my house, and I kind of glared at Michael. And he looks at me, and he goes, you need to get back in the game, sir. Touché, touché, I cannot say anything against that. So here we are. We have to get back in the game, my dear friends. Anybody else have a comment? Question?
Yeah, I like, sorry, here, go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
On the subject of being, quote unquote, spanked, it was said to me earlier today that the things that come up in these messages from Father, where it seems like he's reprimanding us, are, I mean, it's happening for a reason. It may not always be you, so to speak, mm-hmm. but the more often that we brush it off and say, oh, that's not me, that must be somebody else, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's geared towards one or all of us, the more often that we take accountability for what's said in the message, I think the easier it'll be for us to come back together as a team. So it may not necessarily be geared towards me individually, but if I, instead of brushing it off and saying, oh, it's not me, I'm just going to think about something else instead, if instead I say, how could I be contributing to this? I mean, that could help me understand what's actually happening, why this is being said, and possibly even reach out to whomever it may actually be affecting.
Good point.
I was going to say that my talks with Blazar, we talk about the small groups a lot, and what you said, the analogy about the game, about being a bench warmer and whatnot, he brought up that if you're not, he's like, he likes to sit back and just listen to the other members speak and hear how their lives are with their own faith. And I think that's a really good point to go off of, because once we know where they're coming from, I mean, we have these monthly meetings, right? And we have all these access to these different tools to go meet with Father and whatnot, that we don't really kind of understand where they come from sometimes. And granted, you know, sometimes people didn't have gifts before this on the team, some did, so they might have some type of idea, but maybe we've lost that ability to see from other people's perspectives in the church, other people's struggles more often than not. And we also then get to learn of their triumphs and compare them to our own, which I really like.
Yes.
Mind if I say something?
No, I do not.
There's a saying, comfort the disturbed and disturb the comforted. And I think part of that, too, is, you know, as a minister, it's very dangerous for, especially when you're overwhelmed, to have a checklist and say, okay, I did this, that's good enough. I don't have to do any more. I filled my quota for the day, and I should feel, I can feel good about what I did. And that grows a very grave danger, because we don't realize the habits we're falling into and the separation we're creating, because it's so gradual and we're doing it to ourselves. You know, someone once went to the District Apostle Krause and he said, "District Apostle, we had 75 in service today." And the District Apostle said, "That's fantastic. That's better than 74, but not as good as 76, so let's keep going. We take our victories, but we always want to keep improving. We always want to keep going. That's how we're supposed to not be the bench warmers, but the ones right in the heat of battle. In any sport, a superstar is one who keeps improving and doesn't stop trying to improve, keeps working and developing their gifts, their talents, even if they're already the best. That's how they continue to improve, because if you don't use it, you lose it." So, and my mom has something too.
So there's two thoughts. One is that there's the saying, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And so we should all take to heart what we have been told, because if we are a team, we should be strong. And we're only as strong as our weakest link. And the other thing that I'd like to tell you is I was listening to a service on Wednesday, and I've been prompted to share this, like nonstop, the prompting. So I want to share it now, and I think it will make a little bit of sense too, given what we've been talking about. There was a bishop in Kitchener, and he was relating a little story. So there was a man named Blondin. This is a true story. And he went across Niagara Falls on a tightrope, and this was in the 1800s. And everyone marveled at the fact that Blondin was able to go from one side of the falls to the other without any problem. He did it a few times, and then he got to the Niagara Falls to the ground, and he said to the people cheered and screamed, and they were all so happy. And he said to them, "Do you think that I could do this again?" And they said, "Yes, yes, we have the faith. We know for sure that you would be able to cross the falls again, no problem." So he said, "Would you like to see me do it again?" And they said, "Yes," and they're all cheering. He said, "Okay, do you believe that I could cross the falls with a wheelbarrow?" And they said, "Yes, yes, we think that you could do it." And then he said, "Who is the one that will go and sit in the wheelbarrow while I go across the falls?" And nobody did. So the bishop said, there's the difference between faith and trust. They had the faith that he could do it, but they didn't trust themselves enough to give their life or to risk their life. So they believed, even though he could do it, they didn't have the trust in him. And maybe we ourselves, we have the faith in what we hear and what we're doing, but maybe we're lacking that little bit of trust. Maybe we're not trusting ourselves enough, and maybe that's the root of the problem. Just lacking that little bit of trust. We all have the faith. We know the gifts that we have. We know the talents. We know our capabilities. But maybe we're still lacking that trust. So I've said my piece.
Amen, choir.
You know, along the lines of what Tranquility and Aquos are talking about, as I was talking to Father and praying, praying for the team and praying for this call as well, and my heart was, you know, contemplating our homework assignment, the question that came into my space is, so how does one even know if they're being a good servant? And the answer was immediately given, just look at the fruit of the labors. Is the fruit delicious, nutritious, and wholesome? Or is it bitter, hard, or even worse, poisonous? And that information that was given to me was so profound, because I think, too, along the lines of what we're talking about here is we can think that we're doing everything we're supposed to be doing, right? We can say, okay, I'm grounding myself, I'm running energy, I'm protecting my space every day. Check. I'm meditating at least once a week. Check. I'm attending the conference calls. Check. But is that that can't be the only metric, right? That'd be if that were the only metric, that would be like someone saying, well, I go to church every Sunday. Check. It is, are we allowing these words and the belief and the faith and the trust to really transform our lives? Because it's a transformation that really has to occur in us. But I even myself, you know, am I doing enough? Am I being that servant? Am I being the direct reflection of God towards other people? You know, what's the metric for that? And so when this information was given to me, I found it incredibly profound. I have to look at my life. Is it full of yummy, delicious, nutritious, wholesome truth? When I leave a situation or a conversation, does that person feel inspired? Does that person feel closer to God? Does that person feel connected? Or do the people and the souls that I'm cared for, do they feel neglected? Do I steal their peace? Do I cause them unrest? Does the thought of me or me thinking of someone else, how does that manifest itself? And so I just wanted to share that with the team because, again, you know, on these conference calls, it's been wonderful in the way that we've been, you know, told what to do. And even if we're doing some of the things, or even if we're doing all of the things, there's many ways to be a servant. And we're each designed differently. We're each given different gifts. We each can serve differently. So how do you have a metric for 12 very different creations, right? And so I just want to share this with the team is that if you're not sure if the transformation is taking place, look at your life, and I'll look at my life and see how is my family, is there peace, joy, happiness, and love, in starting in my own household, right? Because we're servants to our own families. How do we feel connected to this team? When we think of other team members, is it joy and happiness and like can't wait to talk to our team members? Or is it, you know, as we had heard, you know, earlier, is it disdain or judgment? And so I just want to share this with the team. Again, if anyone's not sure that the transformation is taking place, consider what is the fruit of your labors? Because we can work really, really hard. I'm in sales, and anyone who's been in sales, I'm sure can understand this. You can do a lot of work and get nothing accomplished. And it feels like work. I mean, I joke around being a sales trainer and even being a manager. You know, I had some reps that would be like, oh, I'm in the shower at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm working. Feels like work. I'm driving to an appointment. Feels like work. I'm working. No, in the definition of sales, you're working when you're actually changing someone's behavior or having a conversation to change someone's behavior, right? That's the ultimate goal of sales, is to change that other person's behavior. So I wanted to make this aware because I catch myself doing anything that I share, any wisdom that I ever have given, it's because it was given to me because I needed it, is that be watchful not to feel like you're doing so much work that it's not manifesting itself. Because if it's not manifesting itself into yummy fruit, into uplifting, into loving, right? We have to love this. We have to love ourselves. We have to love everyone that we're working with. We are told in Scripture, it's easy to love the lovables, but what about the unlovables? Do I go after the lovables? Am I trying to create a wonderful environment? Because sometimes it's easier just to walk away or judge or make an excuse why I shouldn't go talk to that person, you know, because they annoy me or we don't agree on something or whatever. So I just wanted to share that because it was really helpful. I'm a metric kind of person. I need to understand, am I getting better? Am I getting worse? Where do I fall in the place here? And so after what Tranquility and Aquos just shared, what everyone just shared,
thank you.
I wanted to share that too.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons why the importance of doing our dailies, right? The first thing that we do is that we do our dailies is so that we gain protection, right? And so when we meditate, we're able to process all the things that go on throughout the week, right? And then when we do the healing at the end of the week, then we're able to move on, grab the positive and keep it, and remove the negative. So all these tools that we've been privileged to have, and which we are about to teach the members, is so that they are able to grow and develop into the bride of Christ, just as we are. And what we have to recognize is that when we are able to control our emotions, we're able to serve better our Heavenly Father. If we're walking around angry, upset, distraught, depressed, disillusioned, we are consumed with the situations that go on with our life. Meditation is allowing us to process all this minutia, right, and let it pass through us, you know, so that we can learn from them. That's the positive. When we have trials and tribulations, there's always a learning moment, right? And so when we have these learning moments, we filter them through so that we can hold them and so that we are able to help someone else. But if we're completely consumed with it, we're passing up situations, you know. I was having a conversation with Tryland on Friday, and Father told him, hey, this is a learning moment. And Tryland's like, I just passed 3 cemeteries, and because I'm frustrated because of this traffic, I'm completely passing this by, and I'm not allowing myself to be a blessing for those people. And so that's why the reason why we have to exercise the gifts, that the meditation gifts that our Heavenly Father has given unto us, so that we are able to teach it to others, so that we can be a blessing. The bottom line is that if you're a servant, you have to leave a blessing everywhere you go. If you're walking around with anger and despair and distrust and judgment, you're not leaving a blessing. You're leaving a curse, and you're not helping anyone. So I look at this message today, and I ask for forgiveness to all of you. If I've misled, if I've caused pain, if I caused distress, because my goal is to be a servant of God. And it doesn't matter whether I'm a guardian or not. I'd be happy just picking up the books and placing them and greeting the members in the congregation. But at least I do it with my whole heart. And that's what we have to understand, is that whatever we do in our life of faith as servants, we have to do it with the greatest joy, the greatest love. Because what we see, that joy and that love and that strength returns to us. When we sacrifice for our Heavenly Father, He returns blessings unto us. So every action that we must do, we must think and go, is this going to be a blessing? Am I leaving a blessing at this home? Am I leaving a blessing when I shake a hand to shake hands with a brother or sister? Am I leaving a blessing when I'm having a conversation with my teammates, with my general, with Tryland? The situation that occur in our lives, there's many times that things occur, and if we sit by ourselves as an island, we're never going to propel forward and grow. But if we have a trial or tribulation or a problem, you know, I've done it many times. I sit and call the first teammate I can call, and the one who answers it, we start working it out. And sometimes I have a completely different perspective, and then once I'm done with the phone call, I'm going, well, darn, this isn't fun. She changed my mind, or he changed my mind, right? Because so that I'm trying to work the problem out. I'm trying to seek connection. I seek connection with my general. My general knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. I seek connection with Tryland. As a minister, I always sought to work my way into the heart of my bearer of blessing. And that's very important, because I'm communicating. And when I communicate, I understand his heart. And if I understand his heart, then I can help along in the work that he's trying to complete. Because all of us are not, you know, bigger or better than anybody else. We all are part of the body of Christ. And so as the body of Christ, we have to fulfill an action or a function, that this whole body has to propel itself forward in order for it to meet the bridegroom. And so, my dear friends, is what we have to open our hearts and look into ourselves and go, what am I doing to find connection with my bearer of blessing? What am I doing to find connection with my members in the congregation? Because we are the ones that we're supposed to protect. They are the ones that we're supposed to protect. We are there to serve them. They are above us. You know, the responsibility of a guardian is a greater responsibility. It just it would be the same responsibility if I was sitting there greeting members at the into the front door of the congregation. It's a greater responsibility, but I'm still a servant of God, and that always has to be the same. The greatest joy is serving our Heavenly Father with the right heart's attitude. So,
correct.
I'd just like to add that the verse of the day perfectly goes along with what Blazar just said. Would you mind if I read it?
Nope, go ahead.
It says, God has distributed to each of you a measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, and not all members serve the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members who belong to one another. And we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If the gift is prophecy, that individual must use it in proportion to his faith. If it is service, he must serve. If it is teaching, he must teach. If it is exhortation, he must exhort. If it is contributing, he must do so with sincerity. And if it is leadership, he must do so with diligence.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you, everyone. I would like everyone to just take a second now. I would like you to close your eyes. And I would like you to take a big deep breath in through your nose. Blow out through your mouth. And I now give you my peace. I sent an email out to everybody asking them what their definition of serving Father as a guardian is. And I asked you to respond back to me only. And I'm very thankful that all of you actually did that. My first thought was maybe I would just compile it into a document and then I would just email it to everybody. But then my other impression, which is the most important one, I thought was I would rather have every single person who sent me that email read their email to the team. So I have asked Blazar if he would go first. And then I asked Nucleos if he would go after him. And then Aquos, if you would go after Nucleos. And then the rest of you, if you could please find your emails, I will just announce your name and then ask you to please read your email. So, Blazar, please.
Okay. Please bear with me. I'm dyslexic, so.
No problem.
Serving as a guardian, to me, is being a servant. Serving tasked with humbleness, meekness, love, patience, and understanding. When you serve, you give of yourself to the members. You give of yourself to the ones that are on the outskirts of the congregation and to even to those that are in the core. Right. Hang on a second. It is serving at any time, even serving when it's inconvenient and difficult. Servants make time. Servants sacrifice of themselves, their family, in order to help, comfort, uplift members. Serving is sharing your faith in the life for God's and light, your faith and life for God's children. Being a servant is the greatest joy in my life. It completes my soul and strengthens me. Gives me faith. When I serve, I am filled with the zeal of the Lord, the fire of his truth. Father made me a servant. When I don't serve him, evil comes into my heart and separation from God occurs, and depression takes over. Being a servant does not mean that I need a high position or to be in the spotlight. for myself, inspiring, uplifting, and edifying my brothers and sisters is the same in front of the altar as it is behind the altar. Picking up books or mowing the lawn, the churchyard, or is the same as if I was asked to be the chief apostle. The same heart's attitude, being a humble servant, would remain, and I would do it with my whole heart. The only difference is the responsibility. And so the other part is what do you feel a guardian is? And is being a guardian to me is being a servant. That's it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Nikleos?
Mine was pretty short and sweet. I tried not to let myself think about this for a long time because I didn't want to change what my gut told me about it. So my definition of being a guardian is this: serving Father's will and protecting the bride in preparation for Jesus' return. As guardians, we must set aside our own will so that we may do our duty in protecting the bride of Christ. We must recognize evil when we see it and destroy it without hesitation. And in serving Father, to truly serve Father, we, again, must set aside our own will so that Father's will can be fulfilled. Any work that we do as guardians must be in fulfillment of Father's plan and not for anyone or anything else. And that's it.
Thank you. Aquos?
So what I have is we're here to help protect and bring the bride home. I feel a large part will be opening people's eyes to the message that Father wants to give and showing them how much more there is to him. As guardians, we have more insight and are challenged with this task in more ways than one. The apostles, for the most part, are stuck inside what's been taught / brainwashed for many years. So it is even more important for us to help spread all of the good message. And then for definition for serving Father, it's being as Jesus and letting go of our will in place of Father's, living our life the way he'd like us to and completing the tasks given to us. It is the greatest gift, but also the greatest challenge sometimes. And then the good old quote, with great power comes great responsibility.
Brilliant.
Okay, hang on. I just took you off mute. Let me just open my email. Okay. So what is a guardian? We had talked about that on the last call, so this is what came over my heart. A person who guards, protects, and preserves. A guardian is a keeper who is entrusted with the care of another person. We are guardian deities with the divine character and nature of God. A guardian is the ultimate servant, using our God-given talents to serve God, to serve his children, and to intercede on behalf of souls. As guardians, we are tasked with, one, to serve God above everything, to live life every day, every second as a servant of God. Two, to protect the bride of Christ, remove evil from souls, be the bodyguards for the bride of Christ. Three, uphold, defend, and protect the apostles' doctrine, defend the work, the catechism, the faith, and the church. Four, help bring the bride home. Heal souls, bring souls closer to God, help people find their path to God, bring peace, and bring love. Father's entire plan is based on love. And lastly, but not least, stand by trial and side. Then what is the definition of serving Father? To honor, glorify, praise, worship, and obey Father with every thought, word, and action.
Thank you. Tranquility?
Okay, so I have guardian, much like Brilliance did, a person who guards, protects, and serves. In our case, it would be to guard, protect, and serve the bride of Christ, our brothers and sisters, but to also serve mankind in general. And what is the definition of serving Father? Our Father has entrusted and blessed each of us with gifts. To serve Father is to use the gifts that we have been given and serve others. The ways that we use these gifts in our service, through deeds and through our conduct. It reminds me of the hymn, "By our noble deeds and conduct, honor is to God's word brought." When others look at us, do they notice that there is something special or different about us? Are they able to respect us? Do they feel loved by us? Are they drawn to us? If we conduct ourselves in a godly manner, we are serving our Heavenly Father. With the gifts and talents that we are given, do we bring peace to others? Do we free others from the evil ones that try to bind and even destroy them? Do we perform noble deeds? Our Father's arch nemesis is Satan. By fighting evil without judgment, we are serving our Father. By being active in his work, in whatever capacity that we may be, we are serving Father. If we put him first in all things, at all times, and not just when it is convenient, we are serving Father. By supporting our brothers and sisters in the beyond through our prayers and offering prayers of intercession on behalf of the countless souls in the realms of the departed, we are serving our Father. I would also like to mention that by supporting you, Triland, and the Apostles' Ministry, we are serving Father. And just as a little aside, today in service, we sang hymn number 157. I won't read it to you, but the title is The Servant Song, and I thought how appropriate that was, given that we were having a team meeting tonight, that we would be singing The Servant Song. But I'll just read you one verse. It says, I will hold the Christ light for you. In the nighttime of your fear, I will hold my hand out to you. Speak the peace you long to hear. And that's 157. It's a beautiful song. I couldn't even sing it this morning. I was just sobbing away like a baby.
Thank you. Quasar?
Okay, I'm back. I was on mute.
Nope.
So the dictionary definition of a guardian is a defender, protector, or a keeper. A guardian can also be a person who looks after or is legally responsible for someone who is unable to manage their own affairs. If we combine these two definitions, we can form a basis of our responsibility. As a guardian, I defend, protect, and keep safe all souls that I encounter in this world. Many souls in this world may not be able to manage their own affairs, especially as it relates to the realms of the beyond and anything that's above the natural, because they have limited understanding of the beyond and its workings. Our understanding is far from absolute. We know just a little bit more, but Father has granted us the gifts and understandings that we need to effectively protect them. When I consider my responsibilities as a guardian, I must first make sure that I am in oneness with Jesus' teachings and that my first priority is to seek and become part of the Bride of Christ. Being a guardian is part of this overarching goal of being the bride, but it does not supersede that ultimate goal. With that said, I must love our Heavenly Father with all my heart, soul, and mind, and my neighbor as myself. This means that no matter what, I have absolutely no right to judge any soul living on earth or in the realms of the departed. If I do judge a soul or souls, my effectiveness as a guardian is significantly diminished, if not altogether ineffective. My goal as a defender and protector can only be effective when I do so in love for souls. If it is for any other reason, and I put in parentheses, annoyance, anger, irritation, disgust, or even hatred of evil, then the protection does not last. What do I mean by this? There is no doubt that evil annoys and angers us, but it is because we just, or is it because we just don't feel like dealing with it? Or is it because we're concerned for and love the souls so much that we want to help them to be rid of the adverse effects of evil, so that they can work out their own soul lives? These are two entirely different viewpoints, and we must always choose the latter when we protect, defend, and help, because negativity attracts negativity. In other words, if I destroy demons and drive out evil and negative spirits with anger and disgust, more just take their place right away. Think about it. Doesn't that make sense? Anger and disgust are environments that they thrive in. On the other hand, when love is the motivating factor, they don't belong. My definition of serving Father. My definition of serving Father is doing what he wants me to do, period. But in order to do this, I have to be connected with Him, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit, and preferably at all times. Father sent the Lord Jesus to establish His work, and then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to comfort and speak through and into each of His children. I believe the best way that I can serve Father is by actively sharing Him and my faith in Him with everyone that I interact with. As a guardian and minister, it's my responsibility to teach, instruct, counsel, and support souls on their journey of faith, whether that is to become the bride of Christ or it is being the last soul judged worthy at the last judgment. And that's it.
Thank you. Aerostar.
Okay, sorry, okay. I wrote mine up in the same sense like Nucleus wrote his up. It's very to the point. I wrote it like I was talking to someone who had a basic knowledge of our church and that they can get the point just right then and there. So I wrote, the definition of a guardian is to maintain homeostasis with one spiritual side, so to bring about order, concentration, and a teacher-like role when serving others as their protector, brother or sister in faith, and their friend. And I said, this is, of course, to fulfill the duties of protecting the bride of Christ, upholding the apostles' doctrine, and eventually coming together in a harmonic fashion for the kingdom of heaven / Trinity. And then I wrote, for the definition of serving Father, I wrote, it's not hard to do, but it's sadly sometimes extremely complicated due to our human natures. To serve Father, you adhere to the monthly meetings and their lessons for improvements, attend the weekly services with your whole heart and want to receive the strength from them, learn to not judge, and to love one another as yourself.
Thank you. Atmos?
To be a guardian means to protect God's earthly possessions that are His children, His church, and His doctrine. We protect both spiritually and physically where, when, and how Father needs us to. We also help physically and spiritually. We also help heal physically and spiritually with the gifts and abilities we've been given. This is the most current definition that can be given, as our roles in Father's work goes no further than this at this time, meaning this definition will change as our roles change in Father's plan. To serve is optional. To say yes to the option is to hand over your free will to Father, to become His through and through. We are Father's physical hands here on earth and ask that He guide us and show us where, when, and how to use them. Not everyone is called to serve Him in the same manner. Some may sit in the background and do little things here and there to help. Some stand in front of many and allow the Holy Spirit to use them to speak the words Father needs His children to hear. There is a spectrum of serving, and no one position is greater than another. Serve Father in any manner requires humility, courage, and integrity.
Thank you. Starlight?
Okay. So, here goes. Being a guardian is a gift from Father only given to a select few. Somehow, He wrangled up a group of people with such different backgrounds and lifestyles to help complete His plan. Mind-blowing. But there is one thing they all have in common, love. They all have this love that burns in their hearts for their Heavenly Father. This love is like no other. Being a guardian is to love. I am sure you are thinking, this sounds simple. Too simple, Starlight. Think about it. Our Father is the great Creator, and He is our everything. As the famous saying is, God is love. Yes, we need to help save mankind, but we do this by loving. And by loving, we listen, protect, love, help heal, and teach. Ultimately, being a guardian is to love. Choir? I may have stolen this from my husband. Shh, don't tell. And then being a servant is very special. Anyone can do it. It doesn't matter how great or small, as long as you are doing something with all the love, joy, and effort in your heart. Serving may seem like something small to you, but it is huge. It may be huge for someone else. But we serve by listening and by doing the promptings that the Holy Spirit gives to us into what our heart tells us. We don't do it for everyone to see. Sometimes we do things that nobody ever knows about. Here comes another simple thought. being a servant is doing. Huh. So put it all together, doing something out of love with love is a servant and a guardian. He said, well, isn't that a novel idea? That almost sounds like we're trying to be like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I was being serious, and I had a little bit of humor. So anyway.
Thank you. Light Star, Brad, would you be willing to read?
Yep. Give me a second to flip over. Okay. Definition of what being a guardian is. Start with what the definition of the word guardian. What is its meaning? A person who guards, protects, or preserves. A defender or a keeper. A person who is entrusted by law with the care of a person or property, or both, of another, as a minor, or someone legally incapable of managing his or her own affairs. Being a guardian to me is protecting and loving all of Father's children, having patience along with compassion to teach them about our Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them how to become one with His will. Help all people who need or want the things that they are incapable of doing for themselves. To me, this means teaching meditation, giving healings, and removing evil from their space. These gifts were given to us for a reason. We need to constantly be praying for these souls in eternity, offering for them, opening the third eye so that when they come to see us, we can see them, so to assist them in what it is that they need from us. This is how I feel being a guardian to His children, our brothers and sisters and our neighbors, can help get the bride ready. It is a guardian's job to support the doctrine of our church and to love and pray and encourage the ministers Father has chosen to lead His congregations. We have to remind our members and even some of our ministers of the power and importance of the apostles. We need to defend and protect the apostles' ministry. What does that mean? To me, it means not only believing for myself that the apostles' ministry is living and true today, but to teach and show others. Also, show them what it is that I believe and where my faith is. That when someone is speaking negatively about the apostles, that I am ready to defend and protect just as I would a teammate. What if someone was attacking the ministry? Then I am ready and educated biblically and with our catechism to defend the ministry. By doing these things, we will be helping souls to know the faith and the root. Wow, hold on, let me back up. By doing these things, we will be helping souls to know the faith and the root of themselves into it and our apostles. This to me is defending the apostles' ministry while protecting the bride. If the facts are always there and our faith and doctrine never changes, then the bride will be safe and not look elsewhere. My definition of what serving Father is: giving our will to Him, doing His will, making every part of your being represent Him, brother and Holy Spirit, being a guardian. Listen to Him and taking action to hear Him. Oftentimes we have an amazing time with Him and experiences with Him. We talk about it, feel special from it, and do nothing with it. We cannot take Him for granted. We need to be like the people Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. Then shall the King say unto them, on His right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous answered to him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came to you? And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you have done unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it to me. These people served without an agenda. They served out of love. They had kindness and compassion. Father has armed us with tools and gifts to be used for his children here and in eternity. We have sight, intuition, and strong impressions. He has given us armor, weapons, abilities for battle. We have the ability to kill demons, remove negative energy, remove evil and from other people, and to make them feel better and safe. We can refill them with love, peace, joy, among other things. We can also give them a message from Father during healing. Father has made himself accessible to us anytime, along with our brother and the Holy Spirit. We just have to seek him. We have all these things, and he has given us. Wow. We have all these things he has given us when we said we should serve him. One thing that hits me every time I hear the song is from our celebration hymn, number 589, Here I Am, Lord. You want me to read the whole song, Jim?
No.
No, okay.
No. Does she have the song number listed? Then people can go read it themselves.
Yep.
Actually, I listed it on the document. Okay, cool. Go ahead.
So the end of the song says that, I feel like the song says so much. This is my perspective on what it is being a guardian and what serving Father is. Thank you, Charlie, for this assignment.
Okay, thank you. Luminance texts me to excuse herself. Apparently a friend of hers had a car accident in front of her house, so she couldn't get on the call. This is what she wrote. My definition of being a guardian is an individual who protects and fights for the Holy Trinity, as well as an individual who is aiding in bringing people closer to Father. I think that serving Father is living to your best potential that Father has given you, as well as every action you partake in being for the greater good of Father and growing his team of humans. Trisus is in the storm down south, and he wrote, Being a guardian is wonderful. Having the opportunity to serve Father again is great. I miss being able to do again feels good. Having a purpose and a goal. Growing each day with the gifts is another facet of his honor that allows me an inner joy. Being a guardian means to me that he trusts me. Being a guardian to help others grow. Being a guardian means to be ready to fight off evil and send help to our brothers and sisters. Serving Father, tough one to describe. Giving him my free will, allowing him to move my heart to help others. I assume serving during the upcoming war will be a different experience. Currently, each day is a new experience to listen how he wants me to serve. I would like to thank everybody for all of their emails. I appreciate you taking the time. I know it wasn't an easy thing to put together. I know that some of you pondered it for a couple days before you emailed me, and I want to say thank you. The reason why I did this exercise was Starlight and I were talking for a couple days where we're always being asked by Father, well, you need to be active. You need to be serving. And I wanted for a moment to find out what everybody thought, what your definition of these actions was. And ultimately, all of you pretty much said the same thing. Being a guardian is being a servant to Father. So now I'd like to expound a little bit, and we'll probably be done in about 10 minutes, okay? So if you're all getting anxious because you want to go have a sandwich or something, hang on. What is the definition of serving Father? The first thing it is to do our dailies. And I'm going to update the daily list this week, and I will send it to you. I need you to do those in the morning because you'll be more protected when you leave your house. I would also remind everybody that if you feel kind of off in the morning when you're doing the dailies, have you thought or been reminded to actually turn your pog shield to the bright white that we talked about a couple months ago or even a year ago, where you turn it to a bright white, and it'll actually kind of act like a bug zapper and kill anything that's actually in your aura and around your space. And then you turn it back to the light blue. You can also give yourself a healing. I have Marty Mann, my healing master, give me a healing every other week, sometimes, depending how I feel. I can tell you, hand to Father, I always do my dailies every day. And even when I was sick for that 5 weeks, I still did my dailies, and I still meditated once a week, minimum. I still went to go see him. It was tough to get in the center of my mind. It was tough to ground. I did not just, you know, put everything on Michael and go, okay, you got to take care of me, buddy. I still did what was expected of me, and that's also what serving Father is, as he said, do what he's asking of us. So I would encourage you, do your dailies. Make sure you're giving yourself a healing. And then I will also say that if you're not doing these things, and Tranquility kind of stole my thunder because I have it here in my notes, then we could become the weakest link in the chain, and we don't want that. We want to be strong for everybody, so please do them. To serve Father also means you can give your spouse, your family and friends a healing. If you're not doing that every once in a while, then that's something that you can also be doing to serve Father. The other thing that I talked about this weekend with a small group was, how often does Father put you and I in a position to talk to somebody about meditation or to offer somebody an energy healing that's never heard of it or ever been exposed to it, and there's this brief moment that happens when we're talking to a friend or a coworker, and you and I kind of stay on this side of the line and we don't cross it? That means we're not really doing what Father's asking of us. Because I can tell you, over the 15 years that I've done this, you'd be surprised how open people are when you can just say to them, well, you know, I meditate. You can start off with that. Don't go, well, I'm a guardian protecting the bride of Christ, and I've got special powers. Yeah, yeah. No. I always start off with, well, I do meditation. And I would tell you that most of the people I work with actually know I do, because they'll sometimes ask me, how do you remain so calm all the time? How can you get so much work done? Even my boss marvels, and I say, meditation. It helps you focus. It helps you become more clearer, and you can do more things quicker in a shorter period of time. If you're in a position where Father's put you in that position to step outside of your comfort zone, you need to do it, beloved. You need to do it. Just take a chance. And even yesterday in our conversation, I said, when I get to that point where I start talking about the energy healing and you kind of get the cocked head look with the weirdo eyes, I go, okay, now we're done. Now we're done, but I'll just talk to you about meditation then, okay? The other question, or the other thing that we can do to serve Father, is making sure we're protecting our congregations. We can't just rely on the standing order that we gave years ago or months ago. We need to actually be active, that when you actually drive into the property, do you feel the angels are actually protecting? A number of you have emailed me that you've actually had to reevaluate your teams and you have replaced certain team members again. That's going to be an ongoing process. And the reason why Father's doing that is to keep us in the game, okay? And I hate using that term, we got to get in the game. Father's work is not a game. Father's work is very important. It is everything to him. So we need to make that first in our life. Step out of your comfort zone. You can also give healings to other people. You can talk about your faith, and then to be active in the congregation. Again, I was merely making a suggestion to be active in the congregation by going to a small group, but there's another way that you can actually be active in your congregation. You can help out with yard work if you have the time. You can help out with a fellowship. Recently, someone on the team sent cards to other people in the congregation just saying, I was thinking of you, I just thought I'd send you a card. Something kind. What's the last time, or when's the last time you and I did something for somebody else? That's serving Father, being like Christ. The most important thing is I need you to be meditating every week, 2-3 times. I'm not telling you to do it for an hour and a half. I never have. 10-15 minutes. Get rid of the garbage that's been bothering you. We all have that moment where we're all weighed down, we're all frustrated and irritated about life. And do we actually focus on ourselves in that moment and let go of those things? I held a class yesterday about the basics, the Series 1 first class, and a couple people said to me, I completely forgot about that part, and I forgot about this part, and I've been complicating things. Okay, so again, today is the day of renewal. We are forgiving ourselves. We're moving forward. We're going to focus on these things. If you're meditating, too, then you need to spend time with Father. Go see him. I said to somebody yesterday, there's times where I go see Father, and he doesn't say word one to me. I stand in front of him. He gives me a hug. We just stand there looking at each other sometimes, or he gives me a bear hug. We've sat across the table from each other and just held each other's hands. I've stood in front of him as he sits on his throne. I have knelt in front of him as he sat on his throne, and I've just been in his presence. And I will tell you that Father's just like the Son is, that if you're going to expose yourself to him, his light and his energy will penetrate you. And when you leave, you'll feel a lot better. Some have said to me, I go to see Father, and I don't know what he's saying to me. I can't comprehend what he's saying to me. I'll tell you this. Your brain won't, but your soul does. Because if you're making the effort to go see him, I guarantee you he is not going to waste your time, and he will not allow you to walk away from him empty-handed. He's the guy. He knows everything you need. He will give you something if you make the effort to come and see him. And spend time with Jesus. Talk with HS. When you're having a difficult time and you don't know how to get through something, ask HS, could you give me a little insight? Could you talk to me for a minute? And the last thing I'll say about this is archangels. These guys would love to spend time with you. This week, I was meditating a couple times, and I said to them, could you please meet me in my library? All 10 of them showed up. I sat down on a chair, and all 10 of them, all they did was walk up, and all of them put their hands on me for a few moments, and Michael said, we're just going to give you some of our virtues, sir. Fantastic. And I can tell you, I felt like $1 million. You can do the same thing. There's previous recordings where some of you have actually spent time with specific archangels to help you learn about certain things that you were lacking in, how to give an energy healing. Especially Michael, someone said to me recently, I got to get back with Michael and have him train me how to fight again. I want to spar with him. I want to goof off and kind of tackle him and see if I can't, you know, do certain things and fight with him. Fantastic. Please do that. I also want to bring to your attention something different that I've been doing for the past month, is I'm taking my seventh chakra, and instead of grounding it to the center of the earth, I am grounding it to Father's throne where he sits. I take the other six, I throw them into the center of the earth. The seventh one, I ground that right where Father sits. And I'll tell you something, I feel more connected to him because I said to him when I was going through this illness of mine, I said, I miss you. I don't feel you. I'm so self-absorbed with trying to heal myself and get through this illness. I'm so debilitated. I'm so tired. And then I thought, oh my goodness, I can always be connected with Father if I ground my crown chakra to him. And I've been doing that. So I would encourage all of you to do that. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add?
I'd just like to say thanks to everybody. This was good to hear.
Yes.
Here's the wonderful thing,
guys. Oh, go ahead.
This is the wonderful thing, is that this isn't easy, right? And so as teachers, we have to learn the curriculum. And so all of us have difficulties in, you know, getting to be 100%, right? In order for us to teach many, the members in the congregations, the people of this earth, they're going to come up to us and go, hey, this isn't easy, you know, and nothing is. You have to strive for it. You have to strive for a blessing. Jacob wrestled with the angel. And look at the blessing that he did when he wrestled with that angel. It was a great blessing. It changed his name. He was transformed from Jacob to Israel, you know. And so let's transform ourselves, you know. Let's work on this and help others. So if it was so easy, we wouldn't be able to help those who are having a hard time with it.
Correct. Somebody else wanted to say something?
This is Dan Q. I wanted to say that I can't wait to read those again. I am so absolutely geeked and inspired by what everybody wrote. And it encompassed everything. And every one of those definitions that we heard and those answers to those questions, we all have to incorporate. And I tell you, I'm so impressed. And as I was sitting here thinking, I thought, every one of those is better than mine. Yes!
Well, so we are in competition.
You. Yeah, right. No, it's beautiful. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. I would like to personally thank everybody for all your heartache, all your difficulties, for fighting through all of this, for taking the reprimand. It's not an easy thing to do. I completely know how difficult it is to be told you're not doing something correct. I have never wanted you to feel that you're failing completely. That's not Father's intention. Because I will tell you, there is more good things that we're doing than not. And now I think, because today is the day of renewal, we're going to refocus, we're going to move forward, and I appreciate that you gave your yes word and that you're going to keep it. And now we're going to move forward, and I'm praying to Father that next month's message is going to be different. He's given me the thumbs up right now because everything has changed, so I'm excited. I have asked Q to pray with me at the end of the prayer, so I love all of you very much, and thank you again, including the spouses too. Thank you. I know I didn't get a chance. I actually have like six other things I'd like to go over. There's no time. I'm going to move them to next month, but I'm going to get into a little bit more of what is the role of the spouse for those that are interested. Okay? All right. So here we go. Kind Father, we bow before you as a team. We bend our hearts to you and our knees. We bring to you our humble thanks, our praise, and we are thankful, Father, that you are willing to forgive us. Again, we can acknowledge that we were not always doing what is asked of us, that all of us have failed in some way. But, Father, from this point forward, we renew our commitment to you, and we tell you, we will be the guardian that you have expected us to be. We will fight now for that position. We will not fall out of the first love anymore. And I ask that you will touch every heart that's on this call and the ones that were not able to make it, that you will renew in them and us that new love that sparks a spark in our heart that drives us towards the goal. And what is that goal, Father? It is to be perfected, to be part of the bride. That is the whole reason why you chose us. It is not to make a name for ourselves, to tell people that we're more important than they are, that we have special powers and gifts. It is to always remain humble, to be like Jesus, our big brother, who never made a name for himself, brought attention to himself. He certainly did aggravate those around him, because what did he do, Father? He served your will, and that is what we will do too. See, the hearts that have gathered here, we are so thankful that we have these brothers and sisters that we can call friends. They are our loved ones, and we admire them for the faith that they carry, that they still, Father, are willing to fight, even after again being reprimanded as much as we have. We will now move forward in joy and in love, and tomorrow, Father, when we wake up, we would hope that there is a light that shines on us, because you have been sitting with us this entire meeting, leaning on the edge of your throne, listening to everybody and everything that they had to say, and all the emails that were drafted. I know you, HS, you had your hands in everybody's heart, because everybody said the same thing, that they want to serve Father, and this is how we do it. So, Father, now lay a blessing upon everybody that is here and those that were not able to be on the call. Apply a salve, Father, to the hearts that have been hurt and wounded, and renew in us, Father, a new life that moves us forward unlike we have ever felt before, that, Father, we can be perfected when Jesus comes. We lay all this in your hands. Some of the teammates are sick. Some of them are financially struggling. Some of them are having difficulties with their homes being put back into place. Some have lost a lot of things. But you, Father, are the one who can provide anything that any one of us needs, and I am asking on behalf of them that you will please be kind. You are everything to us, and I need you to know that. So thank you for the time you spent with us. Continue to bless us, Father. We will not take that for granted. And as always, Father, according to you, will we ask these things. But in your name I pray, please hear us. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Loving Father, we come to you and we are so absolutely happy and thankful for this renewing, and we feel it. What's so beautiful is that we heard words, we felt the love and the strength. But dear Father, then you reach into our heart and we feel the renewing. We feel a closeness that we haven't felt for a while, and maybe never. Maybe this is the closest that we have ever been to each other. Let it be, dear Father, that now we move forward and that we get ready so that things can take place. Dear Father, you know your plan, and your plan sometimes gets postponed because man gets in the way. But dear Father, we always want to do what you want us to do. We want to do your work, your will, your way. Let it be that we now incorporate those things that our dear loved ones here have stated in their answer to what a servant is and what a guardian is. When we can't wait to read those again because there were so many wonderful things that were brought up. Help us each to incorporate every part of those, because it isn't just that person's response. We are a team. It is all of us. And Father, this all took place because we have to be together. We all have different gifts, abilities, understandings, experiences, just as that verse of the day stated. There are so many parts, and every one of us is different and unique. You made us that way. Let it be that we now become even more who you want us to be, so that we can accomplish and help this wonderful work. And it's not only ours that to do. Help us to help our brothers and sisters to accomplish the work. Help us to help our ministers. Let the apostolate know. Somehow, let them know that our prayers are for them, and what we do to protect them has an effect. And dear Father, we know that you can move hearts. Let it be that your will is implemented in and through us, and that we implement your will in and through everyone who we come in contact with. We love you, Father. Lead us and guide us. We know the Lord Jesus will come. We say send him soon. We know there's work to be done, but we still say send him soon. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, everyone. Love you.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
Going too.